Let's stand and open our Bibles. Exodus chapter 14 and then Psalms 34. I want to be randomly preaching some of the subjects and verses that we find in Psalms 34. Highlighting those, I hope you'll meditate on them. What a great text. Yes. Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord and he heard me. Look at the next phrase. He delivered me from what?
All my fears.
My fears. I want that to be our focus tonight. He delivered me from all my fears. Now go with me to Exodus 14. We'll read verses 1 through 4. The Lord spake to Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before that place, between Migdol and the sea, over against that place, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. I want to be incredibly simplistic tonight and talk about the subject of fear as we continue in our theme. God is working even when we don't see it. This will help us in the area of fear. Faith is going to help us deal with our fears. And this is a logical time to panic. When we consider, when you read the Word of God, put yourself in that spot. The best thing you can do when you read the Scripture, take your time, use your imagination. You create the movie in your mind. Don't let Hollywood do it. But when you consider what the children of Israel have seen, what Egypt has suffered, and now as they march out, there are things that they're trying to process in their minds. Although they did not have maps and computers and Google and everything that we have to help us in our travels, and they knew as they began this trek and this trip that they were not taking a shortcut to where God was leading them. They were going on a dead end. They knew they were running right up against the Red Sea. Now, even if they had boats, this still would have been nearly impossible for a million and a half Jews to cross. Imagine if your leader says, this is where we're going. The promised land is our destination, but for now we're just going to go right towards the Red Sea. You don't need to do much study to know, between 130 and 220 miles wide. Consider this, from here to Temple or from here to Dallas, depending on where you hit the Red Sea, that's the body of water that you had to get across. Averaging 1,600 feet in depth, and in many places much deeper than that. Yes. So I don't care how you approach it, it just doesn't make sense. So if you're in the, now here's what we know. We're looking back in time. We're reading this scripture in hindsight. We're seeing God state his plans on paper and saying, this is my plan. I want to be glorified. And I know what Pharaoh's going to do. He's going to harden his heart. He's going to gather his armies. But imagine if God doesn't give you the details, he just simply says, I'm going to take you through the Red Sea. Okay, that's great, but I'd like a few more details. Because in my mind, this is really a great time to panic. You don't have weapons of war. Here come the enemy. We're not going to read the chapter, although it might be a good idea. You know what happened, verse 7, he took 600 chosen chariots. Now, just the chariots alone, that causes great fear. Just looking at these chariots, you see the dust. And God's doing all these things, the pillar of fire that's separating them. We know this, and God's going to part the waters and dry the land and pull them across. But here's what happens in the meantime. We say this. I hope this is deep in your spiritual DNA by the time we get done with it. God is working, even when we don't see it. We see it because we read it. We see it because we know the end result. We see it because we didn't live it. But here's the reality of life. All of us if not at the moment, our living circumstances, or we'll live circumstances where, number one, it doesn't make sense. Number two, the possibilities don't look good. Number three, we don't have any answers. Number four, no matter how long you consider, how much advice you get, no matter how much you pray, fear is the dominating factor in your heart and mind. And if we don't continually remind ourselves, God is at work. Now, this was totally, as we read Exodus 1 through 14, 15, everything from Moses and the basket and the rescue and the leadership and the training and the plagues, everything is divinely orchestrated. We're not talking about intervention. We're talking orchestration. There's a big difference. It isn't God coming to the rescue to save them. It's God pre-planning. Everything here is premeditated, foretold, predicted. And it's all exactly as God tells Moses it's coming to pass. So when he takes him by way of the Red Sea, you would think there's confusion. Here's what all of us do. And there's no one here that is the exception. Even if we could go back in time, we lie to ourselves to say, knowing the result, I want to live that out. I want to see it like a movie. I want Gene to put up his recording device, you know, in the area and just let me watch the movie. But I don't want to be with the children of Israel walking out and seeing the chariots and hearing the noise and feeling the threat of death and looking at the water. I don't care what your personality type. I know there's some more naturally nervous than others, some more naturally stressed out. But here's what happens. Gentlemen, we can go and raise that temperature up 1 degree because I see women in here shivering and everybody's wide awake at this point. So we can give them 1 degree here. Here's what happens. When we get to this point in life, we make a choice. Verse 10. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. Behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. Anybody in here have been sore afraid? You're dealing with circumstance. It may have been health, it may have been marriage, it may have been finances, it may have been whatever the circumstance. Anybody in here ever faced fear that wasn't coming and going? It was literally latched onto you like a mole on the cheek. No, it's not washing off. It's not disappearing. It's a problem. Sore afraid. So the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Now, crying out comes in different forms. Verse 11. They said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Now, church, if you can stay with me, we're going to be extremely brief tonight. I just want you to catch a couple things. When this doesn't dominate our thoughts, we can't explain God. We can't foresee. We don't know the end result. We just know, wake up in the morning with fear. We can forget it for short moments, and then it comes back and it overwhelms us. And we look at everyone else saying, how are you living a normal life? When the reality is, I've got this hanging over my head and hanging over my future. When that fear begins to dominate our mind, it'll soon dominate our mouth. Did you get that? So they look at Moses and say, we went through all this to, you know, get bushwhacked or pushed into the sea. Tell me this makes sense. Why do we go through all that effort? Why do we pillage the Egyptians? Why do we bring their gold out to the desert if they're just going to come take their gold back and take our lives at the same time? It doesn't make sense. Here's our first prayer Go back to Psalms 34. Remember our verse, verse 4. He delivered from what? The fears. Here need to be your first prayer when dealing with trouble. God, in order to deal with this properly, I need you to deliver me from my fear. Because being dominated by fear means what I do in the midst of this trouble is not going to be the right thing. I'm not going to help my family. I'm not going to help those around me. I'm not going to see my way through. I'm not going to maintain my Christianity. So God, the trouble is big enough. But beside the trouble, my fear can blow everything out of proportion and cause me to do things that wouldn't be right, wouldn't be proper, wouldn't be biblical. Now, let me ask you this, young people. If you have a dad that comes to the Red Sea, reality doesn't sink into the minds of children like it does the minds of adults. But if your dad is there, never an emotional person, but suddenly you see him crying, total meltdown. And then he starts yelling, "That stupid man, he brought us here to die. We're all going to die. We can't swim. We couldn't cross it anyways. And here comes the enemy. What kind of nut is this guy? This is the guy that God sends us to save us from the Egyptians? That freakazoid is out of his mind." Now let me ask you this. Do you ever forget that meltdown? He can give a devotion tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and 365 days. And you can't remember one devotion he gave you. And that was 15 years of life, and you can't remember one, maybe one. But you remember the meltdown. And let me ask you this, young people. Those boys that watched their daddy's meltdown and their mother's meltdown, did that moment ever leave their minds? Never. And here's what we got to remember as spiritual leaders. We will come to crisis, and there are times those meltdowns can only come with God and God alone. This can only come in the privacy of God. I need your help. But first and foremost, I'm on my face saying, God, if I'm going to handle this properly, I need you. I'd love to be delivered from this problem. But if you're not going to deliver me from this problem the way I thought or think you should, can you deliver me from my fears? Because my fears are starting to dominate my mind, my thoughts, my words, my actions. It's stealing precious sleep. It's taking precious memories. It's killing special moments. It's crashing every party. It's destroying my faith, my testimony. God, I don't know what you're going to do with this trouble, but I am asking you, deliver me from my fear. I need to be able to sleep at night. I need to be able to have a conversation and this not dominate the conversation. I need to be able to fulfill spiritual duties and not have this permeate everything I'm doing. So as we deal with, now once again, I'm not talking about problems. I'm talking about the ones that stick with you, and the basis is fear, like a backpack that won't go away. And no matter what you do, you can't walk away from the thought of the possibility of all the repercussions from this unsolved problem and trouble. If you're a man, here's what we do. We see a problem, we fix it. But there are times in life we're presented with unfixable. I mean, we've done, I'm not talking about fears because you say, okay, I have so much to do to make this work. No, I'm talking about things you cannot do. You took every step that you knew. Here's what we like to do. We like to simply bypass the Red Sea. And usually our prayer is, God, in my life, if you do me a favor and just let everyone else deal with the Red Sea, I'd prefer smooth sailing, straight road, nice vehicle, easy trip. Ask anybody else prefer what I prefer? That's just me. I'm just like, if you just give me good health to the rapture, no church problems, easy people to lead, an amazing family, Let me eat everything I want and never gain a pound. You know, God, if you could simplify my life. Verse 12. Is not this the word that we did tell in Egypt, saying, let us alone? Now, here's what happens. When you're filled with fear, okay, you can't keep your mind straight, which means you can't keep your memory straight. So everything in the future looks precarious, but everything in the past, history is being rewritten in your mind. You're starting to doubt people. You're starting to doubt God. You're starting to doubt the Bible principles that you were taught. Fear undermines everything good in your life that God has placed there on purpose to help you cross the Red Sea. Now, once again, God's going to get you through intact. He's just not going to get your testimony through intact. And let me restate that. God is going to get you through this. Okay, he told him, and get you through this. Now, what I can do is protect your testimony. Because fear will make you do things and say things that will forever blot whatever testimony you sought to build. So here's what they're doing. Every man in his home was spiritual leader enough to put the blot on the doorpost. The firstborn was delivered. Now, hold on for a second. Physically delivered. And now we're talking about hours later, they're watching this spiritual giant, blood on the door. Don't worry about it, son. God's going to keep his word. What's it say? Now, this is a pretty big generalization, but it says the children of Israel, as a group, here's what we're doing. Total meltdown. When God had said, I got this. And he did. And he was working behind the scenes. And the problem is, we want to bypass. He has no plan of bypassing. Look at verse 13. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. What? Now that doesn't make sense. Humanly speaking, once again, it's a good time. It's a good time to be fearful. Right? Anybody ever been in this kind of situation? Anybody here? I'm talking literally. Pharaoh's army, they're angry. They want to kill people. You're stuck, nowhere to go. No airplanes, trains, transportation to deliver you. No warfare, modern warfare to help counterattack the attack. You're facing the Red Sea. Come on. Can everyone here shake their head and say, okay, good time to pee your pants. This is it. Fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you. And good advice. We talk about the stand still and see the salvation. I like this one. Hold your peace. What's that mean? That doesn't mean they were all carrying 45s. And he was saying, take your hands off your 45. You know, don't use it yet. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the mouth. We're talking about the tongue. Here's what he said. As we go through this night, and God's working in ways you don't see, just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not working. And while you're panicked, and while you're addressing your fear, just zip it. For everyone's sake, just the best thing you can do in the middle of whatever you're going through, you say, I'm going to guard my testimony by not speaking my emotions. Mamas, I'm trying to help you. Daddies, I'm trying to help you. You got kids that are looking up to you. And it's not nearly as dark for them as it is for you. And no explanation is ever going to help them out. And if they could get the explanation, they don't need to know. So your frustration is only proving your spiritual immaturity. Boy, if you could get this tonight. I'm telling you based on my own failures. As I lead a family, as I lead a ministry, as I lead pastors in Mexico, as I lead the churches, and the greater the responsibility, the greater the temptation to speak in fear. the greater the opportunity to ruin a testimony. And say, as I'm trying to build up your faith in God, one moment of panic, God's not going to fail. But you know what will fail? My emotional stability in this could fail. Now, here's what you got to realize. This is a tough one. Here comes probably the greatest moment in all recorded history, and they're participants. Okay? Now, this is pretty crazy. But, verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. Made the sea dry land. Okay, check this out, guys. At least 150 miles of water. At least 1,600 feet deep. Is parted and stands up. You know this. Water does not part or stand. Okay? It just doesn't happen. Try this in your bathtub. Okay? Get about 6 inches of water and then divide it. Go ahead, help yourself. I'll give you 24 hours, 48, 72, whatever time you need. 6 inches of water. Okay? Then, okay, they didn't even have to walk. Okay, you mean tell me tonight you're going to walk from here to Temple or here to Dallas? Most people have never taken a 10-mile hike. A 150-mile hike? You got mothers and babies and children and animals? God puts them on a Holy Ghost roller coaster. And lets them observe the Red Sea parted. And all that is in the Red Sea. They can enjoy this. They can observe it. What a privilege. Now, hold on for a second. But based on the text, not very many enjoyed the ride. Most are like me. It's Six Flags. Just throwing up and asking to get off. Now, here's what's sad. The greatest moment, one of the greatest moments in the history of mankind, greatest recorded miracle, one of the greatest recorded miracles in all the Bible. And most missed it. And if they lived it, they don't look back as a great, oh, then their memory lied to them down the road. Oh, we went through the Red Sea. Yeah, Dad, you did. I still remember the meltdown. Oh, no, it was, no, Dad, you were puking. Oh, you're smiling now? You weren't smiling then. Now, here's what we want to do. Is we face the impossible. We embrace the God of the impossible and say, we're either atheists or we're believers. Here's what we want. We want God to show us his every move and explain every action. So God, what exactly? And God said, no, I don't owe you an explanation. I don't owe you an apology. I don't owe you a plan. Yeah. And you don't do that to your family either. Right. You make moves and you make decisions and you don't explain everything you're doing. And sometimes it causes them fear and trepidation as well. But this was a privilege and they missed the privilege because they were crying. Verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead. Now, there was so much here that they were witnessing. Remember verse 25? Took off the chariot wheels. They drave them heavily so that the Egyptians said, let's flee from the face of Israel. The Lord fighteth for it. I mean, literally. 600 chariots. Boom. Well, that had been quite the moment. And they're still trying to get those horses to run. Pull those chariots without wheels because they said, we got to get out of here. Can you imagine the Egyptians are there with those walls of water standing hundreds and hundreds of feet? Okay, you got to understand. If you're in a part, young people, the average building, a floor is 10 feet. If you have 2,000 feet of water, that's like a 20-story building, but it's standing up, maybe it may be higher than 2,000 feet. Can you imagine, you're Egyptian, you're halfway through, you're looking at these incredible walls of water, and then you realize, boys, something weird just happened. Our wheels came off our chariots, which means the very God that separated these waters may decide to rejoin them. Okay? Israelites are watching this moment. There's a God in heaven, has us all totally, coldly calculated. Now, let me ask you this. How much did this fix tomorrow's problems? Deliver it from Egypt. This is day to day. Make it through the Red Sea. Miracle after miracle, they get out. As soon as they get out, guys, we don't have food or water. It's time to panic. I mean, the God that split the water and made the water and parted the water and commands the water might not be able to provide us water. Right? Church, here's the only thing I want to leave you with. Every day, the real problem is not the problem. The real problem is the fear that comes with the problem. And that fear will mess up your family. It'll mess up your testimony. It'll mess up your emotions. It'll mess up your stability. It'll mess up your tone of voice. It'll mess up your ability to worship. It'll bring tension and frustration to every facet of life. If you don't say, God's working. I don't see it. I absolutely don't see it. Pastor Bob, how many times have we talked about something said? If God doesn't fix this, we got a problem. I mean, we got a big problem. And then God fixes it. But that doesn't mean I slept well. That doesn't even mean I spoke well. That just means I'm learning. The first thing I do now when I pray, God, I'd certainly like a solution to this problem, but God, just to start, would you deliver me from the fear involved in this? Because it makes it very difficult to function properly.